Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We, of course, are broadcasting through the Hyundai Studios, the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your Hyundai dealers. Want to thank them for their contribution, and thanks to Evan Thomas, who gets us up and running and twitching every morning. And thanks to everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Monday, January 30th, the birthday of Chuck Swirsky. Happy birthday, Chuck.
Wow. Happy birthday, Chuck. And happy thank you. Happy thank you to Mr. Dustin William Rhodes.
Boom! Burrow hit my ass!
Yeah, and that's Brandon Fryer bringing you the audio. Thank you, Brandon.
I mean, I understand he's the mayor of Cincinnati, so he has to think about something, but...
That's awesome.
Yeah, they would never have won that game if it wasn't for that. That was the thing that put him over the top.
Still a little with the mayor. It's
the mayor. I mean, that's
a little out of control.
A little goofy.
Yeah,
not good for his reelection campaign.
I'm glad that he's getting dunked on repeatedly by everyone and anyone who is connected with Patrick Mahomes or Kansas City. I got to tell you, boys. The one thing that I was not expecting this morning, I was like, okay, let me see what my guys are talking about this morning. I'm sure there's going to be some incredible analysis from these two football scribes who just eat and drink football. I was not expecting, as I turned down Drexel Drive, Mully to be like, you know what I want? Neutral site championship games.
I wasn't expecting it either. It was obviously a knee-jerk overreaction because I had rejected that idea last go-round. But I don't know. Apparently, you don't have strong enough officiating to handle crowds.
So the point is, put them in a neutral site, equal or close to equal fan bases, and then they won't have that urge to try to play towards the home team.
You'd have the Super Bowl effect, whereas at the Super Bowl, the officiating crew is not thought to be influenced by the home crowd or the atmosphere, the electricity in the air, if you will. And I think that's what we were talking about yesterday. It seemed as if there were a lot of bad calls in both games. But you wondered if the refs were affected by the atmosphere in each respective home stadium.
I think they're just bad. I just think it's hard to officiate NFL football. And I think if we really watched all the games, we would end up seeing that they just have a very difficult time officiating football now. They really do.
Was it just my TV or were the refs' mics low in both of the games?
Yeah, the mix was weird.
It was very strange where I felt like I was getting more crowd and more announcer. And then when the referees would come out, I'm like, what did you say? And why did you go over there? And why did you let a play happen? And then say that the play didn't happen.
It was definitely a weird experience. The first game more than the second. The first quarter more than the rest. But that game took forever to get into a rhythm.
Yeah, there was no rhythm. There was no pace. It was really very choppy, both games. I really felt like there were some terrible calls, bad calls, you know, all the way around. And it just didn't feel like a normal football game. It was so herky-jerky. We got to look at this again. Oh, we didn't look at that. Oh, we'll look at just, you know, the league office is supposed to be able to jump in and let you know if that guy dropped the ball on 4th and 3. They're trying to keep it even and honest, and they
didn't show anything, but the league has a system where they can look at it immediately.
And they should have done that because that would have prevented Kyle Shanahan from looking as bad as he looked. Because he had a bad first quarter after not challenging that or calling a timeout to take another look, to wait for the other replay and angle. Then he decides to ask a backup tight end to block Hassan Reddick on the first deep drop for Brock Purdy, and the rest of the day went downhill from there.
And you know what? His composure wasn't great either. It really wasn't.
Who's?
Shanahan's.
Oh, right.
I mean, he was honest. Fourth quarterback.
I
would have been the same way.
Yeah, but what can you be? I mean, there's sort of a fatalism at that point.
Well, I mean, listen, there's nothing you can do. There's a reason the guy was like out of football. Back in the day, I had a lot of time for Josh Johnson. I thought he had a chance at one point. He's bounced around like crazy. He's the only guy they had. I'd love to know if Garoppolo could have been dressed for that game or just because they needed someone.
He said that he couldn't. They said he was a medical no-go. Okay. He did say yesterday that he wished he – was it David Blau maybe that was the next quarterback down for them?
David Blau?
He would have been better.
He would have been much better.
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at their roster.
Regardless of who it was, regardless of the situation they just went through, the NFL has to come out of this guaranteeing this never happens again.
I think that the emergency quarterback rule should be reevaluated.
No question.
And maybe it's just for the playoffs. Just have your plus one that cannot be activated unless the other two guys go out with injury so that you don't have that. Because that was the other thing. And Dan and I were talking about it in pre-show. Part of the composure issue that I think actually did play a role, they were going to lose regardless, but If your whole point, once you got down 21 and there was still a full quarter, or a little over a quarter left to go in the game, was, well, we'll just put Brock Purdy out there and have him hand off. You were playing that game like you were trying to get out of a second preseason game instead of the game being on the line. I don't think that there's any sort of wildcat offense that was going to save them.
No.
But at least 11-on-11 makes more sense than 11-on-10.
Yeah,
you had a guy that you couldn't use.
You lose the number battle at that point.
I mean, the guy couldn't throw the ball.
If I were Brock Purdy's agent, I'd be furious.
Yeah.
If I were Brock Purdy's parents, I wouldn't be happy. If I were Brock Purdy, I was like, what am I going to do? I have to go back in the game. You know how much of a sitting duck he was going back into that game, not able to throw the football, playing quarterback? I mean, you exposed him to injury without any sort of reason. That the only reason was you didn't want to go to the Wildcat. Well, you maybe should have gone to the Wildcat. It would have been more threatening than a guy who couldn't do anything except for handoff.
And I wasn't sure from the sideline conversations that were going on, because, boy, there were a lot of cutaways and there was a lot of reading of tea leaves, and they're trying to figure out what was going on all game. And it looked like McCaffrey was considering it, or they were coaching him up and started to say, can you do this? Can you do this? And maybe the answer was, especially considering his calf.
His calf, and he's really only been there 2 months.
Maybe the answer is just like, I can't do this, which is completely understandable.
Yeah, that's another point. He has only been there 2 months. Does he even know the offense well enough
to play quarterback?
To play running back, let alone quarterback. It's a rough one. Right?
Yeah, it's very easy for us to say, hey, it's Christian McCaffrey.
That would have been a great time to get a sideline report.
That was missing with all of the Purdy stuff, and it really bothered me because some of it, I'm sitting there going, guys, he's got ice on his elbow.
It was immobilized.
Like, come on. That guy's not coming back to throw the football anytime soon.
Yeah, they had him immobilized. And I got a text right after it happened from a friend of mine who's an orthopedic surgeon. And he just did three letters. He just said UCL.
He saw that immediately.
Yeah. It would not surprise me after an MRI today that we are told he is out all of next year for Tommy John.
Well, they said that is the worst case scenario. They also said that it could be as little as 6 weeks in terms of the healing process. So that's the range. They could find out that there's a tear and Tommy John surgery is required, or it could be rest and 6 weeks of recovery and rehab, and then he can not feel the tingling in his hands that he can grip a football.
Or it could be like Josh Allen.
Jeez.
Where Josh Allen has
played through it
with a strain, and it was okay enough that they thought that they could stabilize it somehow. I don't know, but it looked like traumatic UCL.
You guys are right, though. That was lacking yesterday. Ordinarily, the Fox games are really well sidelined.
Yeah.
And they weren't yesterday. And it was strange. Like, it was, isn't there someone whose job it is to.
David was pointing that out at the time. Like, I need an update.
Where are the silent reporters? I mean, they can't just be dressed well. You know, give them something to do, because now we are waiting for them to do something important, because you did see they're working on Purdy's elbow, and you're like, what's going on there? And is McCaffrey thinking about throwing the ball? I want to see him warm up on the sidelines. Has he thrown a pass on the sidelines?
They were trying to change out the mic and the helmet. Yeah. Like, there was stuff that I guess, like, most people who watch the NFL and are observers of the game probably picked up on.
Right.
But in games like that, and you'll see by the numbers, that's usually an influx of people who are a little more new or don't watch every single game. When you get to Championship Sunday, it would have been nice for them to dig deeper, even if you can't get a comment on the record from the team. You can tell what you saw. You can go, okay, Brock Purdy was trying to throw the ball. He was struggling to throw the ball past 5 yards, or he grimaced when he threw the ball. They seem to be immobilizing his elbow, even though he has his helmet on. Like, you can tell that story without getting an update from the 49ers and them saying whether he's questionable or doubtful to return. I thought it was a real failure
in
the games yesterday.
You know what else I noticed? That in this era of mission creep when it comes to Super Bowl ads, you know, the idea of debuting ads in the Super Bowl has sort of been obviated by what is now being released to YouTube and released to the internet, and there's been sort of a slow drip. There were a lot of new ad campaigns that started 2 weeks before the Super Bowl.
Oh, I love the Kevin Bacon and his daughter.
A lot. But I mean, there's,
that was great.
And the Manning stuff and the Dave Grohl stuff. Like, these big brands are now using teasers and rolling this stuff out to build you to whatever they're going to do in the Super Bowl. That has begun now. That starts championship week.
What about the ad, the preview of the final season of Picard?
I thought it was terrible. And look, I am the target audience for that. And I appreciate...
I own that streaming service for that.
Exactly. And I appreciate that they said the actual trailer is online. Of course, they're trying to push you to it. I thought that the 30 seconds that they gave told you nothing about the upcoming season.
They spent more time promoting it and hinting it that they were going to show it, and then they didn't even show anything.
I went to Sir Patrick Stewart's Twitter account.
Yes.
And on there, they had the 2.5-minute actual trailer for it.
How old is Patrick Stewart?
I believe he's 83 or 84.
He might be older than that.
And I want to say his wife is 40. I believe that's right.
then he feels like he's in his 60s, I guess.
But he's you can tell that
82.
Yeah.
82, okay. Well, that's better than I thought.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, but still, he's done a lot. And even over the last, like, 3 years, he's done a lot. You know, he's been Professor X for one final time, one would imagine. And now he's getting to be Picard for one final time.
He's from the same small town in England my dad was born in, Huddersfield, England.
Did you enjoy how they...
As is James Mason.
How they retconned that in Picard season 2, how they were explaining how the Picards, while French, all have English accents.
Yes.
Because it's so funny, because I watch Star Trek The Next Generation like every day.
I love that.
And so it's funny to me how whenever they would bring someone
did you say you watch it every day?
Yeah, it's on BBC America every day.
Rerun.
So you watch it every day?
Every single day.
I have seen every episode, so I will sometimes see the beginning of it, know that I've seen it, and not watch it.
Yeah.
But more often than not, I sit through it.
But everyone from Jean-Luc's past, they were always like these trained British thespians like him, like Sir Patrick Stewart. And you're going... you all need to fix this. So they finally fixed it in Picard, like explaining why all of the Picards have English accents instead of French ones.
That's very funny. It is very funny. What have ye today?
Oh, break it all down. We've got a lot of thoughts on everything that's going on. We talk about the pettiness of everybody yesterday. We sort of kicked off by the Cincinnati mayor. Probably the most embarrassing thing a Cincinnati mayor has done since
Jerry Springer wrote a check
for prostitutes. So we will do that. We're going to bring back some Tim Jenkins thoughts that will connect Jalen Hurts to Justin Fields as we continue to look at the Eagles as a Bears big brother kind of role model. We've got High Noon. We've got Dan Wiederer, a little bit of Bulls stuff. Ron Hughley is going to join us, the Houston radio broadcaster who is also a Chiefs expert and will tell us what he thinks about that team.
Who is his voice cousin? Who did we figure out his voice?
Oh, shoot. I don't remember.
Deion. He's Deion Sanders' voice cousin.
Okay.
So that's something else that you can listen to. You're like, he sounds like Coach Prime.
Have a great show.
See you guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.